Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and very pleased to be talking about a group that I'm familiar with. It was born right here in the Great Green Bay Area. It's called Well, and we're going to be speaking with two of the co-founders, Annette Gellert in studio, and Peggy Lauer on the phone. First of all, what does Well stand for, Annette?
Women's Environmental Leadership.
I think it started out Women's Environmental Leadership Lunch. We started out having some lunches, and it grew from there. What is it now, Peggy Lauer?
Well, it's the Well Network. And it's a ever-widening circle of, I would say, citizens who are interested in environment and in health and getting to the solutions, you know, sitting down and actually making a change. And that's, you know, how we see this working, both, you know, starting in California.
And why is such a group needed, Annette? I know there was a lot of perceived, you know, need to really fill in a gap. What is the gap? What's the missing link? Maybe women have not been involved in this movement enough and the connections between health and environment.
That's exactly it. There is a constituency that needs to be built that will consist of women and now teens. I mean, even my daughter is involved. She's 17 years old. Women's voices, I think, have been not heard on this issue to the extent that they could move the political agenda along.
And there are, of course, many issues that affect men and women and children. But one of the most dramatic, if we can just sort of jump right to, I think, one of the most disturbing developments ever, is what is happening to newborns. When they're breastfed, we're finding that some of the chemicals that are in many of our bodies, even if we eat healthy, organic food and live in a cleaner place, some of these chemicals are getting into babies. When I heard that, I just thought, if this doesn't awaken the slumbering masses, I don't know what will. That's just one example, but it is one of the more dramatic ones. So then you start thinking about it. You think, yes, women are the ones who bear the children, the nurturers, primary nurturers. And it's such a logical extension to have women become activists on this issue. Not that they haven't been, but to really come together and pool the tremendous resources that the Well Network embodies.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the absence of outrage with the knowledge that feeding your baby with your breast milk that is the best food on the planet for that child, and to know that you are downloading your own toxics, if that doesn't outrage women enough to become involved, I don't know what would. Hmm. It's not just breast milk. It's also sperm count. Let's talk about that. There's a 50% reduced sperm count in males in industrialized countries. And that, I think, has been directly related to chemicals in their bloodstream.
You think that would get men going?
You would think that would get men going. Absolutely.
More than anything else, really. Yeah. They like to see themselves as virile and, you know, potent, mm-hmm. and certainly able to reproduce. Well, speaking of chemicals, there was a very exciting groundbreaking symposium that took place in the Bay Area last month. Peggy, what was that about?
Well, we called it the California Chemicals Policy Symposium, and we co-hosted it with a number of people, and foundations helped us. We even had funding from the EU to help with this, and it was ostensibly about chemical policy and how California can lead. For one thing, there is a special report on chemical policy that the California government had asked for, UC Berkeley produced, and it is about the situation and how it can greatly improve, including opportunities for California to lead, California chemical companies to lead in changing toward green chemistry and, you know, just other safer areas. But I do want to make one point, that it was about chemical policy, but it was about how do we link all the policies together? How do we begin to look at it in a very integrated way? Because if we wrap our arms around one issue, or even one big issue, it's all going to fall apart if we don't bring all the players and all the projects together in a process.
And give us some of the highlights of that convening.
Well, I would say it was probably I heard from a few people that it was the first time that some of the people in the room had sat down together. There have been a series of meetings, this being one of them, of bringing high-level government people, industry working on chemicals or companies that have chemicals in their products that are also want to have that change, as well as advocates that have been working on this issue, and some of them have not sat down together before. So we had this meeting, And I'd say one of the highlights was that we had produced a straw man about what would a California policy look like on chemicals policy. And right before the meeting, California Senator, Joe Simidian, said that he was going to put together a task force to look at just this. So suddenly we were looking at something very real in California.
Now, there are some facts here that are just astounding. Every day, the United States produces or imports 42 billion pounds of chemicals, 90% of which are created using oil, a non-renewable feedstock. And, of course, petroleum can have some health repercussions as well. That's one. Another is global chemical production is expected to double every 25 years for the foreseeable future. We're going in the wrong direction, it looks like.
We are going in the wrong direction. And so we're looking to who's going in the right direction. And that is primarily what's going on in the EU. The 25 nations that form the European Union are going to pass a very comprehensive chemicals policy. It's called REACH, and we don't have to go into the gobbledygook name of that, but it's ostensibly they are going to get rid of the worst actors, the ones that we know are cancer-causing, reproductive health that are bad for our reproductive health. They are going to ban those chemicals within the next year or two. That means that industry in the U.S. is probably going to follow suit. So there's some great opportunities because of that change and that push.
And I understand you're putting together an action plan now. It's only been a few weeks since that symposium took place. What will be some of the key components of that, and how do you take what you've learned and influence policy and business leaders in a way that will bring change?
Would you like to talk with that about that, Annette, and I can follow up?
Yes. We have two educational lunches a year. That's how we started. And we go up to Sacramento and talk with legislators about this need for a long-term vision, a long-term environmental policy reform that includes chemical policy reform. We've gotten a very good response up there, and actually a disturbing one, too, in that they say, you know, there just isn't any long-term vision here, and we're so glad that you're bringing it because it's so needed.
Wow.
We're also working to put together some films that would be shown on public television,
Something called green plans that I know you incorporate as part of the WELL educational process. Can one of you just tell us briefly what green plans are? We have a couple of minutes so we can actually veer off into that interesting direction.
Good. I'm glad you asked that, Betsy. Excellent question. Green planning essentially is it is a process. It's a deliberate way that we are going to achieve sustainability. It's not easy. But there are models of countries that are moving in this direction, and that means bringing government, industry, advocates, academics, labor, all the different, health people, the health field, to bring those people together to begin to build the trust and the bridges needed to begin to solve all our problems. I had earlier talked about how important chemicals policy is. And we now know so much about how bad it is, but we know so little about what these chemicals are in the products and what's even being produced. There's no information. Well, that will have to change, and part of that is beginning to integrate policies, looking at economics, looking at health, looking at environment, looking at the social issues, and bringing those together and the people who are in charge and from those different sectors. And it all sounds very pie in the sky, but we have learned countries like the Netherlands, for instance, is 20 years ahead of us in making those changes, and it is proving to be quite useful to industry. Industry is now leading in their green plan, and that means they've got the incentives to make the change, whether it's green chemistry, getting back to that again, or it's making major changes in other industries. And they will reap the benefits economically. That's what we want people to understand, that it isn't just about the right thing to do, but it is a good economic thing to do.
I think one of the most alarming facts about chemicals is that so many of them are not tested.
Right.
And even in cosmetics, we've had Judy Schills on to talk about the Safe Cosmetics Program. So many of our personal care products, to the food we eat, to the clothes we buy, not to mention the things we don't choose but are just we're exposed to in the course of walking around every day, are not tested by the FDA, the EPA, the companies that make the products test them, and we can imagine where that goes.
11% of the chemicals that are used in cosmetics are tested. That leaves 89 that are not. The 11% that are tested by the industry itself. And so,
For very long necessarily either. They want to get the product to market as soon as possible. There's a real conflict of interest inherent there.
And men use these products too. I've always felt that because it was the cosmetics industry, perhaps the attention wasn't on it by the male legislators because it was a woman's issue. And this is why I think women need to get more involved. But our sons are affected, too, and our husbands. There's a lot of products, body care products, that are used by men, deodorant and cologne, shaving cream, that all have where there are alternatives available for some of these things that are healthy. But, I mean, it's just as much a man's issue as it is a woman's issue. But I think women have to lead the way on this.
So men can get involved in well as well.
Yes, right. And absolutely. Betsy, this all comes down to protecting our children, not just our children, but all children. And California has the most children in the United States. New York is number two. So we're going to start working with New York on a bi-coastal sharing of information and maybe commissions.
Wonderful. And we want to share information with our listeners. Go to our website for more information about WELL. It's www.ecotalk.net. Thank you, Annette Gellert and Peggy Lauer, for joining us.